Greg, the National Federation of Independent Business here in Pennsylvania, you had your annual economic forum here this past week, always before the governor gives his budget address. You actually provided facts and data. Tell us a little bit about the forum. What was the purpose of it? Who did you have?
Yeah, so I think it's a really good event to have, and it really shines a light on the true numbers, right, of where the Commonwealth has been, where the Commonwealth is, and where we're headed. And so we had Matt Niddle from the Independent Fiscal Office, a tremendous mind. They do great work over there, providing real-life data to the elected officials and to others in the Commonwealth that are interested in economic policy. We also had the Department of Revenue to speak on the Working Pennsylvanians Tax Credit, and Minority Chairman of Appropriations, Jim Struzzi. You know, I think what the theme of the day was is that Pennsylvania is really at a crosshairs right now. We are at a crossroads of we are either going to tax our individuals and our businesses more, or we're going to bring our spending plan more in line with our revenues. We cannot, and none of my businesses can operate by outspending the money that they're bringing in the revenues, right? You cannot run a structural deficit every single year and be successful in business. On the other hand, government appears to be doing just that. We are going to be left with a $4.5 billion structural deficit in this year. We do not have the funds, the revenue, to continue down this path, yet the spending just continues to get greater and greater. And so the purpose of this event and the Economic Forum is to shine a light on where we have been, where we are, and where we're going, and to look down into the numbers. Workforce participation rates, how do we compare? Policy, how do we compare? Where are the revenues coming from? Where is the growth coming from? It takes a holistic look at all of our workplaces and economic development policies and really tries to highlight what is working and what's not working. And what's not working is the overspending coming out of Harrisburg.
I've always been impressed by the work of the Independent Fiscal Office. And Matt Kittle, I thought, did a great job for you, Greg. He, in fact, disabused some of the assumptions that were made. Of course, we heard early last year in 2025, tariffs are going to make inflation go out of control. They're going to raise prices. A lot of the statistics that he showed us showed that tariffs and inflation, et cetera, did not have as draconian an impact as what everybody was concerned about at the outset.
No, if you would have watched the mainstream media, the sky was falling, everybody was going to go without paychecks, we were going broke as a country, and everything was on the wrong path, right? But what actually played out is not that at all. The stock market is doing great. People are making money in retirement accounts. The interest rates are coming down, in fact. I think we are heading towards more predictability for our small business owners as some of these tariff arrangements are coming to fruition and these countries are coming to the table to negotiate with the president. And so I think what was once thought to possibly be long-term pain caused by the tariffs turned into maybe very short-term disruption or no pain at all. And so I think ultimately at the end of the day, our business owners see what the goal is. We want to repatriate businesses back to the United States. We want to have it made here in America by Americans. And if we do that, there are many small businesses that are spurred off of the heels of these large businesses coming back to the Commonwealth and back to the United States. And so what was once thought to be poor public policy, again, turned out not to have the impact that many of the mainstream media and folks were rallying behind. You know, it's kind of, they rallied behind the inflation was transitory several years ago, but then we found out inflation wasn't transitory and it was here to stay for quite a while. But thankfully, President Trump is the one to put these businesses back into the rightful place, back into here to America with the threat of tariffs.
And so as we start seeing manufacturing and other business interests reshoring to the United States, Greg, is Pennsylvania poised to take advantage of that? Do we have regulatory and tax policies that will incentivize these businesses to move here rather than, say, the Sunbelt states, where most of them seem to have gone in recent years?
Unfortunately, I would say the business climate here in Pennsylvania is kind of lukewarm. at best. We have an overly complex regulatory network, around 167,000 individual regulations on the business community that is far greater than many other states in the nation. I believe some other states have 20 to 30,000 regulations. And not to say that regulations are a bad thing when they're done properly, they're a good thing. They put guide rails on certain industries to ensure that people are protected and all that good stuff. But when you have regulations on top of regulations that need another regulation, it becomes overly complex. And for the small business owner, they don't have a legal department. They don't have an HR department. The owner is all of those individuals. And so it becomes an incredibly hard path to navigate. And so we have done well. The Republicans, about 4 years ago, the Republicans passed a corporate net income tax reduction. It amazes me that Governor Shapiro gets up there and claims that he cut taxes seven times. But when you look at when that bill was actually enacted, he's only been sitting in the seat while the tax cut occurred. He was not the reason for the tax cut. The tax cut was driven out by the Republican General Assembly. And so that's the truth, is that the taxes were cut by the Republicans, not Governor Shapiro. And so while the corporate net income tax is being reduced from 9.99 all the way down to 4.99, 0.5 each year for 10 years, I think that will bring business back to the Commonwealth. Even at a 4.99, I still would argue it's a little bit higher than I would like it to be. We would like to see our personal income tax come down just slightly as well, providing meaningful tax relief to our constituents and small business owners as well. But I think we are primed and ready to accept those businesses if we do the hard work of legislating. And it's hard work, and there needs to be consensus, but we need it to be done. We need regulatory relief.
We are talking with Greg Moreland, who is state director of the National Federation of Independent Business. They had their annual economic forum this past week. Also this past week, Governor Shapiro gave his annual budget address, a wish list, a Christmas list of items that he would like to see. Interested in your thoughts, the governor again proposing significant increases in expenditures. How does that relate to the proposed or the projected revenue that we're likely to get?
Unfortunately, if you were at home yesterday or on Tuesday, February 3rd, you probably, if you are a layperson and you don't follow politics and policy very deeply and are intertwined with policy, this speech sounded good. He is a good orator. He can speak very much Obama-esque, but then you actually have to peel back the layers of the onion and look at what he's saying. And when you do that, you find that it's not based in reality. His spending plan is a wish list. It is far greater than the revenues that the Commonwealth is bringing in. You cannot spend $53.26 billion, a 5.4% increase over the current fiscal year, without having at least $53.26 billion in revenues. And unfortunately, we do not. We are running about a $4.5 billion shortfall again. We are going to run a structural deficit. And his solution to this is to transfer $4.58 billion out of the rainy day fund to the general fund to make up for all of the spending. That is like wiping out your 401k to pay a one-time, to pay your bills off right now and to leave yourself with absolutely nothing for the future. That is what he's doing. He is bankrupting the Commonwealth. He is bankrupting us on his way to an inevitable presidential run in 2028, where he doesn't plan on being in the Commonwealth when taxes are going to have to be raised because we have no revenue.
Well, let's face it. Last year, we had an extended budget stalemate in Harrisburg, and they sort of rummaged through the couch cushions and came up with enough money to cover that $5 billion in deficit spending. Of course, now the couch cushions have been raided. You mentioned they're going into the rainy day fund. As they continue to increase spending, Greg, how long is the rainy day fund going to last before it's exhausted and now we're stuck with this huge structural deficit? How do we pay for it?
So the only reason we have over $7 billion in the rainy day fund is due to the pandemic and responsible governing. responsible governing by the legislature at a time when they realized that there were headwinds coming our way. In the Republican-led legislature, in the aftermath of the pandemic, and even before the pandemic, started putting monies away into the rainy day fund to ensure that if, when, in the future, we needed it, that those monies were there. Governor Shapiro, in a one-stop shop here, wants to spend about 60% of all of those monies, $4.58 billion, leaving us with only about 40% of the monies that are currently there in the rainy day fund. And so while we're going to spend $4.58 out of the rainy day fund this year, it's going to leave us with little to go off of for the following year. And that is going to lead to a tax increase. There is no, government doesn't make widgets and sell widgets. They can't just sell more widgets next year and make more money, right? They get their money from our people, from the people that work and live here in the Commonwealth through taxation. And when you don't have enough revenues and your only revenue source is taxation, there's only one place to go once you've spent through all of the money.
And as we look at that, Greg, the governor also is, even rating that much out of the rainy day fund, proposing revenue that currently doesn't exist. We don't have a tax on legalized marijuana because, well, we don't have legalized recreational marijuana. We don't have a tax on skill games. Is any of that likely to actually come to fruition or become reality over the next fiscal year?
I think there could be a deal struck on the skill games. I think that has been a hot topic for several years. We would like to get them regulated and taxed to some degree, not to the degree that the governor has proposed for sure. But I think there is a willingness to take a look at that. Now, that is going to take time to get money into the coffers from that taxation because as we sit here in early February, there is no deal. Right. And so if there's no deal and there's no bill and the bill's not running, there's no solution to it. You can't start collecting revenue for something that hasn't occurred yet. So that is the skill games portion. I don't see recreational marijuana happening. And so you're including hundreds of millions of dollars in your spending plan for something that will not occur. Additionally, he included a proposal for a minimum wage increase. One would maybe think that minimum wage increase is meant to help a struggling worker. But really, if you know government and you know anything about government, at the end of the day, they're the biggest benefactor of it. They get about $100 million more in payroll taxes to spend of your money. So while they're selling you an idea of, oh, we want to pay you more, they realize what they're doing here. And they realize that if they try to pay you a little bit more through a government mandate, they can collect more. And if they can collect more, they can spend more.
Greg Moreland is State Director of the National Federation of Independent Business for Pennsylvania. Greg, tell us a little bit about NFIB and where can we find you on the web?
Yeah, absolutely. NFIB.com. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization representing about 13,200 small businesses all throughout the Commonwealth, all sectors of the economy. We are the voice of small business, and we are here to advocate for our business owners to be able to own, operate, and grow their business free of intrusive government interference. And unfortunately, that's what we're seeing nowadays, intrusive government interference. And so organizations like ours are very much needed to take the story of the small business owner to their elected officials because it is one of the most impactful stories. We have folks that have put everything on the line to start a business and we want them to be protected. We want them to be commended for taking that risk and employing their neighbors and their communities. And so we're here to fight. NFIB is a fighter.
Greg Moreland of the National Federation of Independent Business. Greg, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Lemon.